How are you guys today? Praise the Lord. I was sort of whining a little bit this week about the weather because I'm tired of the cold. And I was talking to my family. I have family down in the Twin Cities area. And they told me that on Thursday and Friday, they got 10 to 15 inches of snow. So I quickly started praising God for the weather in Warren. It's just, boy, as we were praying, it's in the back, and Psalm 27 stuck out to me. It says, "Do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." And I don't know about you guys, but I think that's a hard verse to sort of wrap your head around sometimes. Like, I remember being younger going, really? Better a neighbor than my family? Until I am part of a church like this. And then it becomes so clear. It becomes so clear that we are a family. Just like what Margaret was sharing and what Roland was praying for. We are a family, and we share each other's joys and each other's burdens. When we do joys and concerns, we pray for each other, and we are there for each other in a wonderful, God-ordained way. I appreciate those prayers, and ironically, it sort of ties in with what we're talking about this morning. If you look at your bulletin, you will see that there's an apple on a tree. This is sort of incredible to me, that a tree can produce an apple. I don't even know how does that work? It doesn't look like it should be possible. And yet if you see an apple tree, you see them hanging there. So we're going to talk about the apple tree and how that affects our lives in Christ. I know, wait for it, it'll be good. Let me pray, and then we'll get into some of what we're talking about. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you that we can come as a family and worship you. Thank you for the hearts and souls that are in this room, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would just come and fill this place, touching our hearts today with your message. Would you come and speak powerfully to us? Lord, remind us what a sweet family, sweet community, what a sweet assembly of the called we have here. Lord, I pray that we would ignore our world's call to be independent and to be alone, Lord, but we would listen to you when you tell us to connect and to dig in and commit to each other. Father, I pray you would touch us and knit our hearts together. Would you just speak today, Lord, in your name? Amen. All right. Have any of you guys ever marveled at apples? Not just apple pie and all the yummy apple desserts, but I mean truly marveled at an apple. And the intricate details and the skill that goes into growing them. Did you guys know, and I did not know this, did you know that apple trees, they no longer just plant a seed and let the tree grow and hope that there are apples? It is really complicated. They come up with, they figure out where the apple tree is going to go, and they decide what sort of root system is going to work best in that area, and they take that root system and they cut it off. So now they've got just the roots, and then they decide what sort of apple they would like grown. And then they graft those two together. So they take the top and a bottom of two different trees and put them together for an apple tree. We could spend a whole morning on that. But there's too much other stuff to get into. I mean, the whole process of planting and growing and getting fruit out of a tree, it's this incredible science and art, sort of this dance between a science and an art to get it to work correctly. It is really quite fascinating. I am really fascinated by apple trees. You know, when I bought my house, My parents came up to visit, and my mother would take our children out on a walk. And I thought she was just going on a walk with the grandkids, and I'm sure she was. But what I didn't know is she had an ulterior motive. She was doing a little reconnaissance in the neighborhood. She would come back and say, "Well, I didn't find any apple trees today, Peter." I'm like, "Apple trees?" She goes, "Yes, I think it would be wonderful if you had an apple tree in your yard." She was searching them out. Because my mother knew what I didn't. What's the first thing you need when you're trying to have an apple tree? You need another apple tree. It's quite fascinating. Apple trees need other apple trees. Very important point. Apple trees need other apple trees. They need them close. I mean, within like 100 feet, you need another apple tree. Did you guys know that apple trees flower? I didn't know this. They flower. They're actually a pretty little flower on an apple tree. At the same time that they're flowering, little buds will show up and down the branches. And these little pea-sized buds are actually the beginning of the apples. What is happening is that the flowers are appearing to attract the bees. And the bees will travel from tree to tree and they will pollinate the buds. Now, sometimes if you see like a row of flowers, this flower and this flower, they can pollinate each other. The bees just fly from one to the other. Somehow the flowers on the apple tree it doesn't work that way. The bees cannot pollinate the apple tree from the same apple tree. It needs a second apple tree. So if there are no other apple trees around, the buds cannot be pollinated. And if the bud is not pollinated correctly, as the flowers wither and fall to the ground, the little buds will as well. They will wither and fall harmlessly to the ground, never realizing their created purpose. No apples will grow if there isn't another apple tree. All right, so what is an apple tree that doesn't produce apples? It is firewood. If you had an apple orchard and you were trying to raise apples and you had an apple tree that didn't produce apples, what would you do? You would cut it down and you would grow another one. It is useless. The purpose of the apple trees is to make apples, to produce fruit. But apple trees can't pollinate themselves. They need another tree. This is not a weakness. This is not a weakness on the apple tree's part. This is the way the apple tree was designed, the way that it was created. There's nothing wrong with the apple tree. They were designed to need each other. You guys already see where I'm going with this. Christians and apple trees amazingly have a lot in common. Christians need other Christians. Just like an apple tree needs another apple tree, Christians need other Christians. Not only do we need other Christians, we need them close by. The apple tree needs them within 100 feet. I think that's a good reminder. We need them close by. We need that cross-pollination that we give each other. Without it, we will spend our lifetime producing promising buds that fall lifelessly to the ground, year after year after year after year. In the verse that Roland read this morning, this is I normally read out of the NIV. I like the way that the voice, more sort of a thought for thought interpretation or translation, wrote it. It says, "Not forgetting to gather as a community." The Living Bible says, let us not neglect our church meetings. The phrase here that is translated as community or church meetings, in the NIV, if you read that, it simply says, get together. And the phrase that the original Hebrew is written in, the original Greek is written in, doesn't translate well into English. That's why you see several translations trying to explain the idea in different ways. But it implies being together, face to face, shoulder to shoulder. It's a personal and intimate meeting. The verse is not saying do not neglect texting each other. That's not what it says. It is a personal face-to-face connection. And interestingly, it's not just a normal get-together. It is implying a religious or spiritual context. Again, the verse isn't telling us to neglect our neighborhood block parties. God isn't telling us, hey, don't forget the party for the Daytona 500 today. Wow, that many race fans in the audience? Praise the Lord. No, this verse is telling us not to neglect being together as Christians. Being together, dealing with issues that are unique to Christians. Being together and rejoicing as followers of Jesus Christ. This is why the Living Bible says not to neglect our church meetings, because the verse is instructing so much more than just getting together to hang out. Seek God together. Talk about what God is doing together in your lives. Pray together. Really, one of the most sort of word-for-word interpretations of this phrase would be, do not neglect the assembly of the called. The assembly of the called. That is the gathering of those who are called by Jesus Christ for the work of Jesus Christ. This is not just a thrown out phrase of, hey, don't, remember, you got to have friends. No, this is a remember, you must be together in an intimate and real face-to-face talking about the deep issues of God. Do not neglect it. We cannot do this life alone. Christians need other Christians. We need cross-pollination. We need a church family. We need a church family. Can I say something, and it might be a little bit of a paradigm shift. It might even be sort of hard to hear. And I bet there might even be a little bit of pushback. I'd encourage you to pray about this, because I think this is absolutely true. I would venture to say it is one of our major reasons we see in our country that many of our little buds fall to the ground, is that we don't connect with a church. We don't find a church and connect and dig in and say, this is where I am planted. These are the Christians I am going to cross-pollinate. As a society, it has become very popular in our culture for people to view their churches like it's an a la carte line at the cafeteria. People say, well, I really like the music at this church, so I'll go there most Sundays. Boy, but I really like the Bible studies at this church, so I'll go to those Bible studies. You know, the youth group at this one over here, though, is really good, so that's where my kids are going to go there. The fellowship meals here are pretty sweet, so at least once a Sunday I'm going to come here. You can't really be close enough in proximity to other Christians if you're not rooted in a church. If we don't ever stay rooted in one place long enough, we don't enjoy the benefit of the pollen from that church. We end up dropping our buds, and we live a life where we never really mature in the Lord. And we never live up to God's calling in our lives because we were never close enough to other Christians to assemble with the called and put ourselves in a position to have them speak into our lives. All right. You know what else is crazy about apple trees? So when an apple tree buds, so those are what are going to turn into the apples, they bud into clusters of 5 or 6. And then they will do that up and down the branches. And then the apple tree starts going about creating the nutrients for all of these buds. It digs its roots into the ground, spreads its branches wide to catch the sun, and it gives all of its energy to producing this fruit, to producing apples. The problem is the apple tree is crazy. It has produced way more buds than it can support. And if left like this, there will be serious ramifications. There will be serious trauma to the tree. The apple tree, micro apples that are smaller in size and not as healthy. It's just, they're just too many. They can't support, create enough nutrients for all of those apples. So what ends up is the entire batch sort of gets wasted. And simply can't produce enough nutrients for all of the fruit on the tree. Something else that might happen is the tree will expend so much energy, so much of itself will be given to supporting all of these apples, it will literally be worn out and traumatized, and it will either not produce as much fruit the next year, it'll be a very small crop, or it might not produce any. It will just be worn out. You know, and again, because the apples grow in bunches and they're up and down the branches, and as they grow, they get heavier and heavier and heavier, and the branches of the apple tree can't support that much weight. And you'll sometimes see, I've seen pictures where there's a branch that literally looks like a candy cane being pulled down because there are too many apples for that branch, and you can see the burden and the strain on that branch, and sometimes the branch will break off. And it'll literally break off under the enormous weight of the apples, causing real harm and damage to the tree. So what's the point here? Apple trees must be pruned. They must be pruned. What an apple farmer will do is when the buds come out, he will go along and he will cut off all of the buds. He will leave one fruit or maybe a cluster of fruit every 4 to 6 inches. The rest of them they cut off. Everything else. And I would imagine if the apple tree could talk, they would say that this is quite traumatic. Remember, the tree is giving all that it has, all that it is really, into making this fruit, into making these apples, digging its roots through the dense ground, trying to catch as much sun with its leaves as it can, and through the remarkable process of photosynthesis, converting that to nourishment. All so that the apple tree can make apples, which is then pruned, cut off. In fact, most of the fruit that the apple tree is trying to produce is cut off. Here's this poor little tree, giving everything it has to produce fruit, and we're cutting most of it off. Pruning is incredibly painful. Both the physical act of cutting the bud off and the psychological act of losing so much of what the tree has put on and put into that fruit. Well, what do we know after looking at what happens to the tree if it's not pruned? We know that pruning is not only what is best for that tree, it is vital for that tree's survival. It's not only what's best for that tree, it is vital for the tree's survival. You guys, Christians need to be pruned as well. Just like the apple tree, Christians need to be pruned as well. You guys believe that? Do you believe that pruning, God's refining work of cutting off what we may think are perfectly good fruits, fruits we've given everything we have to, do you believe that God's pruning in our lives is not only necessary, but it is vital to our survival? It's not only what is best for us, it is vital. Because it is. It really is. If we want to be fully matured men and women of God, it is vital. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens another, so one person sharpens another." We've talked about this in the past, but it is such an incredible image to me. You know, one piece of iron is placed against another and they are scraped against each other until enough of one has been violently ripped off that it is sharp. What is interesting is both pieces of iron are the same density. Both pieces of iron are being scraped and sparks are flying. Both pieces of iron must be willing to give of themselves to be sharpened. The same is true for us. We need each other. Not because some people are stronger than we are and can sharpen us. No, we need each other to scrape against us slowly, working off all the imperfections until we are a sharp blade. And we need each other, willing to give of ourselves to sharpen each other. And I covet people and desire people to speak into my life. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Wounds from a friend can be trusted. I just wanted to share two quick examples in my life when I have been pruned for my own good, because it is vital for my survival. Years ago, I think we only had 3 kids at the time. I don't remember how old they were, but they weren't very old. Bella and Sreya were running around after church, and Bella, they were on this ramp over here. And Bella was running, and Sreya was chasing her, and out of the corner of my eye, I was in the back, I saw Sreya tackle Bella. Now, that doesn't really do it justice when I say tackle. I mean, she tackled than anyone on the Vikings roster did all year last year. She was amazing. She was full out horizontal. I'm not kidding. I was shocked. And she full out horizontal, wrapped up, and whoop, they were down. Now, I'm in the back thinking to myself, this is not good. So I excuse myself from the conversation. I take about two steps, and I hear crying, laughing. What? They both pop up, just giggling to beat the band. I thanked God that we dodged that bullet, and we moved on. It was not long after that. I don't remember how long, but it was not too long. My near brother, Eric, pulled me aside. Yeah, you know where this is going. I don't remember his exact words, but it was something like, Peter, I love you. I'm a little concerned for your family. Your kids are starting to display characteristics that I don't think you want. My children had hit a season. Now they were 4, 3, something like that. They had hit a season where when they got frustrated or angry, they would just give each other a little pop. A little whap. They might tackle each other from time to time. Eric was gently pruning me. He was gently saying, listen, I know the standard you have for your kids. I just want to gently say, I think they may need a little work. Now, he wasn't telling me anything I didn't already know. Trey and I had already talked about that. In fact, it was something we were working on. And I think his gentle word gave us motivation to redouble our efforts. And if you know my children, you know that they are not goons. Well, Jackson might be a little bit, but whatever. So Eric lovingly and gently pruned me in an area that is vital to me, the way that I raise my children. You know what I thought in my head when he was pruning me? And this is really honest, and I'm sorry if it changes the way you think of me. Eric, gently and lovingly, because I love you, Peter, this is, and I know you want this, can I please speak into your life? The first thing I thought was, shut up! Leave me alone! We have 3 kids in 3 years. For crying out loud, we're lucky they've got clothes on. And you're worried that they might be a little rough? Praise the Lord for Tracy. I mean, really, she gets those kids. That was what ran through my head first. And I praise God that the split second that took to go through, God worked and touched my heart, and he gave me wisdom to keep my mouth shut and to recognize that my dear brother was pruning me for my own good. Eric and I have talked several times that we have open rein in each other's lives to prune, even when it's difficult. So he shared, we talked a little bit, I thanked him for sharing, and Tracy and I worked even harder. And that's why our children don't sin anymore. Oh, wait. That one didn't get by you. Okay. All right. If I have time, I'm just going to share one other time when God knew that I needed pruning. Because this is so much fun. My wife came to me a couple years ago. And she said, Peter, you are too harsh with Soraya. You are too harsh. You nitpick her. And if you keep this up, you will lose her. Soraya was 5 or 6. I don't remember exactly how old she was. Again, you know what my first thought was? I said, you don't know what you're talking about. It is good for my children to have a healthy fear of their father. You know what I said to her? I looked at the person who knows me best and loves me most, And as a pastor, I looked at her and said, "You're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about." I'm not too harsh. You're too soft. I deflected. I blame shifted. I would not accept her gentle pruning. For months, it may have been a year, I don't know. It was a long time. My wife made gentle appeals. "Peter, I think you're nitpicking your daughter too much. I think you're really too harsh with Saria." She was trying to prune me. But I wouldn't let her. I kept swatting her away. Then one day, a little over a year ago, Saria, she was 6 at the time, she called me to the kitchen. She said, "Can you come into the kitchen alone with me?" Sure. So we go in and we sit down. And she sat me down and she said, "Daddy, I really love you." I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be so sweet." And then she goes like this and she goes, "But I don't really like you." She said, "You scare me." Ah, man. I was way too harsh. I criticized her too much. I showed my love too little. I am so thankful that the Lord did not let me mess this conversation up. I got down on my knees and I apologized to my daughter. And I asked her to forgive me. And I thanked her for having the courage to come and tell me. I wish I would have let my wife prune me. Instead, my 6-year-old pruned me. And that was much more difficult. But I praise God for it, because I needed it. It was vital to my survival with my daughter. It was hard, but I needed it. We cannot experience life-saving pruning unless we're planted close to others, just like apple trees. And you can't be in a position to let others do the difficult work of pruning unless you are connected. Unless we are truly connected. You know, when we're talking about the spiritual a la carte, when they're going everywhere, you know what really happens there is you know a lot of people, but you're not really connected anywhere, and nobody feels they have the ability to prune because you're not really connected anywhere. In fact, bold. Sunday morning doesn't cut it. We need to be involved. We do men's studies and women's studies, home groups. I mean, serving on the worship team. Something, anything that can get us connected. Anything that'll get us part of the assembly of the called. Face to face. Intentionally focusing on God. Anything that'll get us connected enough for people to speak into our lives. Anything that gets us close enough to pollinate and be pollinated. If we don't do that, guys, if we don't put ourselves close enough to other trees, other Christians, and allow ourselves to be pruned, put ourselves in a position to allow ourselves to be pruned, we will produce promising buds that fall lifelessly to the ground for the rest of our lives. We will never mature in Christ. And we will live never realizing our our full created purpose. It is vital. It is vital to our lives that we be planted by other Christians and we allow ourselves to be pruned. Let me pray and the worship team can come up. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you that you love us enough to create the church, to build your church. Father, I pray that we would find a church, a good church. It doesn't have to be here. Father, find a good church that we can plant by other Christians. Father, I pray you would give us the grace and the humility to allow ourselves to be pruned. Just thank you, Lord, just for your hand in our lives, Father. I thank you that you love each one of us and you want only what is best. Father, I pray you would just touch our hearts today. Touch our hearts with your love. And as we leave here, Father, would we have a better understanding of how much you love us? And may we see how that love is shown and lived out to the assembly of the call. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close with worship.